With you today in sunny Sheldon, Iowa. And I hear that today's a little nicer than last Sunday was, so that's a good thing. Pastor has some brochures that are going to be passed out there. That's just kind of a connection point for you there with the Ministry of Gospel Link. Tells you a little bit more about our ministry. And I'll refer to that a couple times during the message this morning. So my family and I live in Marion, Indiana, and that's a picture of us there on the screen. We have 6 kids and 2 daughter-in-laws and 2 grandkids on the way. My wife and I are really excited about that. So we live in Marion, Indiana. I have the privilege of representing a missions organization called Gospel Link, and our vision is advancing the gospel through national preachers. And you will hear about the ministry of Gospel Link in the time I have this morning, but I really want this to be more of a message from God's Word, more than just a missions presentation. And, you know, it's been said that how you view the gospel will affect how you share the gospel. And so, as Pastor prayed, may we view the gospel with great gratitude and humility. May that affect how we share the gospel. So let's go to the Lord at this time in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come to your word now during the worship service, and pray that you would get a hold of our hearts, Lord. Pray that you would give us fresh passion for discipleship, for sharing the gospel, for walking with you, and for keeping our eyes lifted up to the fields that are white already to harvest. And Father, I pray that you would speak through me this morning. Speak to each and every person's heart, and Lord, give us the grace to obey what you'd have us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. C.S. Lewis once said what's on the screen there. He said, a Christian's faith is always personal, but never private. Always personal, but never private. Now, Matthew 28, the Great Commission, was read just a few minutes ago. And I want to share with you 3 points from the Great Commission. I noticed there's a space there in your bulletin on the back sheet to jot down some notes. So if you have a pen or pencil, take advantage of that. Write these things down, if you will. Point number 1 is the priority of the Great Commission. The priority of the Great Commission. This was Jesus' final command that he left with us. The final command. He gave us this command, and then he ascended to the right hand of the Father. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, right? We could refer to that where Jesus said, you shall receive power, and you'll be my witnesses unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And for our sake this morning, we could have insert in there, for the sake of application, you'll be my witnesses in Sheldon, in Iowa, all of the U.S., and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then what happened to Jesus? Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. The very fact that this was his final command that he left with us should remind us this morning of the seriousness of this command. You know, Jesus, in his divine prerogative, church, he could have fulfilled this great commission by himself if he wanted to. He spoke the stars into existence. He created all that is. He's Colossians 1, he is the eternally existent Jehovah God of all creation who's currently holding all things together. I mean, the Lord doesn't really need our help in doing anything, does he? He could have fulfilled this great commission on his own. But that wasn't his plan. His plan was to use us, disciples making other disciples, and discipleship begins with the good news of the gospel. The priority of this great commission. You know, the final words that a person says on this earth will indicate what they're passionate about, what their priority is. For example, P.T. Barnum of Barnum and Bailey Circus, his final words were, how were the receipts today at Madison Square Garden? P.T. Barnum evidently was passionate about money. Ticket sales were his priority. It's a reminder to us on this beautiful fall Sunday morning that our Lord is passionate about the souls of people. He's passionate about making his glory known, not just our neighbors here in Sheldon, Iowa, but to people in the uttermost parts of the earth. People like these in Cambodia that need to hear the good news of the gospel. People like this little girl who needs to hear that he is worthy, that we sang about earlier. Amen, he is worthy. He's worthy of our praise. This little girl needs to know that Buddha will not save her. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God wants His glory to be made known. The Lord wants everyone to have the opportunity to hear the gospel. Aren't you thankful the gospel made it to you? I am. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, starting with our neighbors here in America and extending to the uttermost parts of the earth. And just a reminder under point number one here, Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know, secular companies can be very passionate about getting their product out to as many people as possible. Coca-Cola, which is based in Atlanta, Georgia, Coca-Cola had a very simple mission statement years ago. Coca-Cola's mission statement was, a can of Coke in the hand of everyone on the face of the earth by the year 2000. Now, have they been at least somewhat successful in completing their mission statement? They have been. If you've traveled anywhere on the face of the earth, you know it's nearly impossible to go somewhere and not have access to a Coca-Cola. Several years ago, I was in the southern African country of Mozambique, and I had just joined Gospel Inc. This was over 11 years ago, the first time I'd ever been to the continent of Africa. But I was there with another Gospel Inc. representative, Willie Hunter. And Willie and I were in Mozambique, Africa, and one of our objectives was to go out into the bush and preach the gospel to the people there, but also meet with some prospective Gospel Inc. preachers. So our van driver took us off of the paved road onto a dirt road. And we drove and we drove, and church, I'm telling you, we zigged and zagged out of the bush for about 2 hours. Willie told me later, he'd been to Africa many times, he said, Pete, I think this is the most remote place we've ever been to. By the time we finally got to our destination, it was pitch dark. They stopped the vehicle and they got us out of the van and took us to what would be our lodging for the next couple nights there in the bush of Mozambique. It was a little mud hut with a thatched roof there. And Willie and I ducked and went into this little hut, and there was a candle burning there to welcome us. It was like Motel 6. They left the light on for us. Willie and I were sitting there in that little hut just enjoying the moment. You know what they brought out and offered to us that night as a welcoming gift? Bottles of Coca-Cola. And there's Willie and me getting ready to enjoy our warm bottles of Coke that night in that little hut. And folks, I had to think to myself later, if a soft drink company can be so committed to a simple mission statement and so passionate about getting their product out to everyone on the face of the earth, how much more passionate should I be about my Lord's great commission, the good news of the gospel that people so urgently must hear? How much more should that be my priority? The priority of the Great Commission. Secondly, is the people of the Great Commission. Now, you notice there in Matthew 28 that the pastor read, it says, go ye therefore into all nations, all nations. And the word for nations there in the original language is the word ethne in the Greek, and we get the word ethnic from that word. And if you study this passage, I think you'll find that Jesus is talking more about just the 200 or so countries in the world. All of them weren't even in existence at this time. He's talking about the ethne, the people groups within those nations, as defined by things like race, culture, language, etc. People groups within nations, ethnic minority groups. For example, in India alone, there's over 2,300 people groups in the nation of India. My wife and I adopted two daughters from Vietnam. There are 54 different ethnic people groups in the nation of Vietnam. So you have these people groups all over the world. And the Bible tells us in Psalms that we're to declare His glory among the nations, among the people groups. And I want to share with you this morning some good news, because the gospel's good news. It's good news not just for us here in good old America, but it's good news for everyone in the uttermost parts of the earth. Here's some good news. You won't hear about this on CNN, but God is building His church around the world. How many of you like good news? Would you raise your hand? Amen. We all like good news. How about this? Take China, for example. Have you heard what God is doing in China? Voice of the Martyrs estimates there may be as many as 100 million Christians today in communist China. That's good news from a far country, Proverbs 25:25. Now, the bad news is, that's about 10% of China's total population. But the church is growing there. By the way, there's been an uptick of persecution in some areas in China. Pray for your persecuted brothers and sisters. Places like Iran, the church is growing in Iran, believe it or not. What a tough mission field, right? Iran. How many of you remember the hostage crisis back in the 70s in Iran? I do. That kind of dates us more mature folks. Back in 1979, the Ayatollah vowed to crush Christianity in Iran. At that time, there was about 500 Christians in the whole nation of Iran. But God has been drawing Muslims to Christ by the thousands in that nation. Today, there's over 1 million believers in the nation of Iran. Books are being written about church growth in Iran. Author Joel Richardson says, Iran has the fastest growing church on the face of the earth, 20% growth per year. Isn't that ironic that the Ayatollah says, we're going to just do away with Christianity in our nation? And I don't know, 40 years or whatever later, it's the fastest growing church on the face of the earth. The Ayatollah didn't understand. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Good news from a far country. Places like Nepal. Nepal, 1952, the first church was established in Nepal with 29 believers. 1952. Today there's over 850,000 Christians in Nepal. I could share other things, but for the sake of time, let's move on. Gospel Link Ministries, we're a missions organization that's all about making disciples and planting churches. Churches like this one in Lusaka, Zambia, I had the privilege of helping to start that church several years ago. Churches like this one in rural Vietnam. This is a Hmong tribal church in rural Vietnam. It's packed. Pray for Vietnam. Vietnam is a communist nation. It's a 1040 window country. How many of you have ever heard of the term 1040 window in relation to missions? Many of you. It means it's one of the least reached nations on the face of the earth as far as with the gospel going out to the people of their nation. Pray for Iran and pray for Vietnam. Sorry, my mind got confused there. Pray for Vietnam, okay? Gospel Link is working in Vietnam. We've been working there for several years, and the Lord is growing the church even behind the wall of communism. I want to show you some pictures this morning by way of encouragement. I hope that you're encouraged this morning. I drove 11 hours out here because I want to glorify my Heavenly Father, but I want to encourage your church, you in Sheldon, Iowa, encourage you about what God is doing, what He wants to do right here, and mobilize us, inspire us, hopefully, by the grace of God. But these children are raising their hands. They're raising their hands. You know what they're doing? They're receiving Christ into their lives as Lord and Savior. This is a communist country here, Vietnam. The preacher's name is Nguyen Dang. This is an elderly lady that's getting saved there in the picture, the lady in the pink. I got to share her story with you. Her name is Mrs. Phung, 84-year-old devout Buddhist. The man in the white is Huynh Hue. He's a gospel preacher. And one day, Huynh Hue and his outreach team went to Mrs. Phung's village to share the gospel with people in her village. So they came to Mrs. Phung's home, and all of Mrs. Phung's children and grandchildren live with her, which is common in that culture. So they enter her home, and they begin sharing the gospel with her and her family. Mrs. Phung, the devout Buddhist, understands what they're doing. So she began going around the house. His report says, saying, glory to Buddha, glory to Buddha, just loudly trying to interrupt what they were trying to do. They just kept sharing the gospel with her children and grandchildren. When they were finished, all of her family members turned from their idolatry, put their faith in Jesus Christ, were born again that day. Good news. But they left that day from Mrs. Phung's home with a burden in their hearts for Mrs. Phung. So about 3 weeks later, after much prayer, he says in his report, they went back to Mrs. Phung's village with the intent of visiting her. This time, she welcomed them in warmly with a handshake. So they wondered what was going on with Mrs. Phung. She says, I'm so glad you've come back because I wanted to thank you for sharing what you believe with my children and grandchildren because now they treat me with more love and respect than they ever had before. That's the transforming power of the gospel. Excuse me. So they took the opportunity to share. Could you get me some water by any chance, Pastor? Thank you. Excuse me. Oh, are there? It's the soybean dust. That's what it is. So they took the opportunity to share the gospel with Mrs. Phung. This time she listened intently, and when they were finished, she bowed her head and received Christ as her Lord and Savior. And as they were preparing to leave Mrs. Fung's home, she said, "Wait a minute, could you and your men take down all of the Buddhist idols and wall hangings out of my home? That's a sign of repentance." And they said, "We'd be glad to do that." His report says it took them nearly 2 hours to remove all the Buddhist wall hangings out of Mrs. Fung's home. This time, instead of saying glory to Buddha, she was going around the house saying, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God," because now she's a worshiper of the one true and living God. That's good news from a far country. I shared this story a little bit in Sunday school. That's a former Buddhist monk being baptized in a rice paddy. This is a former police officer for the Vietnamese government. His name is Dang Toi. He's a preacher of the gospel now. He's got an amazing testimony, and I won't go into his whole testimony, but basically he used to arrest Christians and put them in prison there in Vietnam. He would confiscate their Bibles and take those Bibles home with him. He would take the Bibles home. What do you think he began doing with the Bible? What do you think? Yeah, that's right, he began reading the Bible. I couldn't wait to get back to Vietnam and ask him more about his testimony once I heard a little bit about it. And so through our translator, I said, "Pastor Toi, tell me, why did you begin reading the Bible?" And he looked at me and he said this. He said, "I began reading the Bible because of the courage that I saw in the people that I was arresting." He said, "I had to find out what makes these Christians so brave in the face of persecution and even imprisonment." That's a great testimony. Our brothers and sisters in Christ halfway around the world standing strong in their faith. Thank you so much. You didn't drink out of it, did you? Okay. Thank you so much. So it was the impact of these persecuted Christians that changed him. And he began reading the Bible to find out what these Christians believe. Eventually he came to Christ, was born again, received training there in Vietnam, and began preaching the gospel, baptizing people like this lady in the barrel there. How would you like to be baptized in a barrel? May never get out of there, right? And so good news there. Hopefully that's an encouragement to you. These are 23 new Christians prepared for baptism there in rural Vietnam. These are Hmong tribal people being led to Christ. The preacher there in the cap is Dung Dia, is his name. Listen, the church has grown in Vietnam incredibly. Since 1975, when communism took over the South and it became all one nation, the South fell to the North in 75. At that time, there was about 160,000 or so believers in the whole nation of Vietnam. Today, there's nearly 1.6 million Christians in Vietnam. So the church has grown tenfold since communism took over the nation. Good news from a far country. And again, though, the bad news is there's over 90 million people in Vietnam. So there's a lot of people that need to hear the gospel. The bad news is this morning that there are still nearly 3 billion people in the world that need to hear the gospel for the first time. 3 billion people. Now, us missionaries, we like to share statistics. And sometimes, you know, you hear those big statistics, 3 billion people. How do we get our minds around a stat like that? Let me put a face to that statistic. This is a little 12-year-old girl that our missions team encountered a few years ago. We were traveling from Saigon to the Cambodian border. And about 2 hours into our trip, our van driver pulled us over for a little roadside pit stop at a coffee shack in rural Vietnam there. And this little girl kind of meandered out of the coffee shop, began checking out our tall, white-skinned team from America. And so Amy, one of our translators, got down on one knee and she began to kind of draw this little girl out. And Amy turned to me and she said, "Pete, this little girl has never heard of Jesus. Not has never heard the gospel clearly, but had no idea who Jesus Christ was." And brother, I remember it like it was yesterday. Just standing there, you know, under that hot tropical sun, looking at that little girl. It still touches my heart today. But just think, you know, this precious little girl doesn't even know who Jesus is. She knew who Buddha was. But I wondered how many people in this country alone have never heard the name of Jesus. I want to just take a couple minutes. I know the clock is ticking, but practically speaking, what does it mean to be unreached? Let's put our feet in the shoes of an unreached person. If you're unreached, that means that you do not currently have access to the gospel. In other words, you don't likely even know that it exists. Either you've never heard the name of Jesus, or if you have, you know very little about him. And you don't know any Christians, not even one. You've never met anyone who knows the truth about Christ. If you're unreached, it means you don't have access to Christians nor to the gospel. And unless something changes, you will likely be born, live, and die without ever hearing the gospel. That's what it means to be unreached. Theologian Carl F. Henry once said that the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. And that's why Jesus said in Luke 10:2, you remember the verse Jesus said, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the what is few. Do you remember, church? The laborers. That's right, the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest, the Heavenly Father, would send forth laborers into his harvest field. And the pray, therefore, literally means to beg God, to beseech God. Listen, kids, listen, adults, do we pray, God, please send forth laborers? It's interesting, he didn't say, pray that God would send forth money or tools. No, those things are fine, but he said, laborers, people. And we beg God and beseech him and pray. Why? Because the lost are just a heartbeat away from eternity. And when we pray that way, listen, when we really pray that sincerely, Lord, send forth laborers, we can't help but put ourselves at his disposal, right? Lord, send me to my neighbors. Lord, send me, like Isaiah said, the prophet Isaiah, you know, here am I, Lord, send me. Send me. Use me. Use me to reach my neighbors. Use me in missions efforts around the world. I want to take the final time that I have this morning and just share a quick flyover of the ministry of Gospel Link and then a story at the end. Gospel Link is a missions organization that's all about reaching people like that little girl that I showed you who had never heard the name of Jesus. Our model is working through national preachers. Your pastor and his wife are very familiar with our model. National preachers are simply church planters who were born and raised in the nation where they're serving. Okay? They're not foreign missionaries who have come in. We're still behind sending U.S. missionaries to the field. I was noticing your board back there and all those prayer cards. God bless those folks. Pray for your missionaries. But listen, a lot of places, nationals know the Lord. They've been trained. They're reaching their own people with the gospel. So a man who's partnered with Gospel Link and he's planting churches, say, in Vietnam, he was born and raised in Vietnam. So my final point this morning is the partnership in the Great Commission. How can you help reach your world? Would you consider sending a national? You can send a laborer yourself and leverage impact on the mission field through the ministry of Gospel Link. Become a Gospel Link sponsor through your prayer and financial support. Listen, I like to throw this disclaimer out. Your giving primarily needs to go first and foremost to your local church, this church right here, and the ministries that you're engaged in. But listen, I want to present this as an opportunity for those of you who God might have to help assist a national to reach people like that little girl. So if you would take out your brochure just real quickly, on the inside of your brochure, it talks about why we assist national preachers, our selection process, some of the accountability structure, and I'd be glad to answer more questions after the service this morning back at the table. But on the back of your brochure, on the right column, it says types of sponsorships. Listen, Gospel Link is working in 14 different third world nations. I oversee the countries of Vietnam and Cambodia for our ministry, but we're also working in 12 other countries. We're currently partnering with around 1,300 national preachers. All of these 1,300 preachers and their families receives 5 sponsorships. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time on this, just a real quick overview. They all get sponsored with 5 sponsorships in order for them to be fully sponsored. Okay, 3 of those 5 is what's on the screen or it's at the top of your brochure on the back. It's the ministry sponsorship. It's $40 a month. They get 3 of those. That provides for them things like clothing, housing, food, medical, etc., so that they can be devoted to full-time church planting work in their country. They're not farming 40 hours a week or 50 hours a week or doing some other job to provide. They already have their support then through those ministry sponsorships. In addition to that, they get 1 $30 a month outreach sponsorship That's devoted to evangelism. You can read more about that. And then they also get a $20 a month training sponsorship, and that's devoted to discipling new Christians that they have led to the Lord. So if you total those five sponsorships, it's $170 a month for a Gospel Inc. National to be fully sponsored. There may be a family here this morning that says, we'd like to do $170 a month. Do our own preacher. He's our only, his only sponsor. We are. Most folks don't do that, so that's why we break it down into those different giving levels. So as little as $20 a month, you can have a very vital role in helping support the ministry of a national preacher. This list gives you some ideas on the screen here of who can sponsor a national preacher. Real quickly, five advantages of working through nationals. Citizenship advantage. Nationals are citizens of their home country, so they don't have to get a passport. They don't have to renew their visas. They're already there. People like Simeon on the screen. He is our national director for Gospel Inc. in Cambodia. He's the former dean of students of a Bible college in Phnom Penh. That's his wife, Sharon, their two daughters. He lives in Cambodia. He has his citizenship there. It's an advantage that nationals have over foreign missionaries. Secondly is the cultural advantage. Now, I want to ask you, how many of you have ever been to a foreign country? Would you raise your hand? Okay, many of you. Very good. How many of you, or if you want to share what countries you've been to, I like to hear where folks have been, if you want. Mexico? What was the other one? Mexico, okay. Switzerland? Haiti? Others? China? Israel? Okay. Okay, I know more we can share for the sake of time. We'll go on. A lot of diversity there. By the way, Kentucky's not a foreign country. So, are any of you from Kentucky? No, last week I spoke at a church and there's some people that raised their hand. I said, take it as a compliment. But listen, you go to some of these countries and things are very different, especially in third world nations. Kids, you'll like these pictures. Housing is very different in Africa than it is here. Showers in Mozambique. When you're tall, it's a real conspicuous thing to get in the shower in one of those. Very different. Insects in Vietnam are very different than here in America. That's a scorpion in the home of a preacher in Vietnam. Modes of transportation in Vietnam are different than here in America. Street scenes. That's not Sheldon. That's Saigon. Okay, it's a city of motorbikes. Food is very different in places like Southeast Asia, like this raw squid that was served to my son and me at a luncheon on a missions trip, and Trey didn't think that was very appetizing that day. That's culture shock on the screen there. But national or U.S. missionaries, you know, they have to adapt to the food and the culture, and my hat goes off to them. But nationals, they like that food, and they were born and raised in that culture. Nationals also speak the language. They don't have to go to language training. They already know the language. They have a time advantage and also a distinct economic advantage that I've already mentioned to you this morning. This is a group of our national preachers in Zambia, Africa, at the Bible college that Gospel Inc. has there. These preachers all have sponsors that pray for them and help support their ministry in reaching Zambians with the gospel. By the way, if you can't tell, I'm the one in the back on the right. Gospel Inc. started in 1998, and today, by the grace of God, we're partnering with around 1,300 nationals in 14 different nations. Would you take your brochure out one more time? And look on the back panel again. There's a response form on the left column. So some ways to respond. One is you could go on a short-term missions trip. If you're interested in that, my wife and I lead teams to Southeast Asia typically once a year. You could meet some of the nationals, their wives. You could do orphanage work. I can talk to you more about what a missions trip looks like. Just put your information on there and put a note, missions trip, and I can get back with you on that. Also, you could give me a church referral. Listen, this is a great way to get exposure for our nationals. If you know of a church that you could refer me to, it could be here in Iowa or anywhere in the United States, maybe some connection you have with another church somewhere, just jot the name of that church down at the bottom. There's places for two churches, and I'll be glad to contact the pastor, introduce myself, and ask if he would let me come and talk about missions and the work of Gospel Inc. And then finally, would you consider sponsoring a national preacher? Again, the brochure gives you boxes there that you can check according to how the Lord leads you, anywhere from $20 a month to $40 a month or any combination of those. On the table at the back, there are some of these profile cards of preachers that I brought with me out here to Iowa that still need a sponsor, and the amount they still need is in the upper right-hand corner. This one, for example, is in Vietnam. They have three children, and they need a $40 ministry sponsorship. They work in the Binh Phuc province, which is in southern Vietnam. So there are several of these back there on the table. And honestly, I don't pressure folks. I've worked for Gospel Inc. for over 11 years. I present the need and trust that the Lord will move on people's hearts. But it would be a lot more pleasant drive home for 11 hours if I knew that we got some partnerships for these folks who need sponsors. So you do as the Lord would have you to do. I want to close with a story this morning about the family on the screen there. The preacher's name is Mang Nia, and that is his wife and family. And that's a motorbike that was provided by a donor in the United States. Motorbikes are very valuable in Vietnam because they navigate the rugged terrain and allow the gospel to get out to the villages a whole lot faster. Let me read to you a short excerpt out of one of his quarterly reports. He says, "One day as I was traveling home from my son's school, I saw a man lying on the sidewalk with his hand in the air as if he needed something." So church, here's the scene. You've got a busy street in Vietnam. You've got a man laying on the sidewalk and his hand is in the air like he's in need. And traffic is just passing by. But Mang Nia, the preacher, because he understands the priority of the Great Commission, pulls his motorbike over to see what this guy wants or needs. He says, "I stopped my motorbike and I bought a bowl of rice soup for him. The man was very sad and was surprised that I stopped. I took him to his home, which was about 3 kilometers away, and upon arriving, all of his relatives left the house immediately." Now, we'll find out in a minute why that happened. He says, "I found an old mat and I laid it out for him to lay on. And then I told the man about Christ's love for him and shared the gospel. Before leaving, I gave the man my address. 3 days later, the man came to my home to thank me, and he shared this with me out of his life." So this is the man who was laying on the sidewalk. He says this, "When I went to Bao Lạc to work at a coffee plantation, my wife left me for another man. He says, "I was very sad and turned to alcohol. When I would get drunk, I would verbally abuse my relatives, even my parents." That's why they all left the house when he came home that day. They didn't want to be around their own son. He says, "My life has been eaten up with bitterness. But when you gave me the soup, I was encouraged by your kindness, and I wished I were you. So I would like to receive the Lord and become a member of your church." He got saved that day. That's him right there. Bobo Hong is his name. He's the man that was laying on the sidewalk with his hand in the air. This is the preacher. That's Bobo's father and mother. That's good news that Bobo got saved that day. Amen, church? But the story doesn't end there. 3 weeks later, Bobo's parents invited me back to their house. That's a picture of him at their house. Listen to this. They welcomed me in and wanted to know what kind of soup I fed to their son, because his life had been changed since he ate the soup. He had given up alcohol, was no longer verbally abusive. The transforming power of the gospel. Mang Nia says, "I explained the gospel to them and told them it was not the soup, but it was the power of Christ. Hallelujah." His parents and 5 siblings confessed their sins and received Christ as Lord and Savior. He and his family live in the Song Kandong district. Good news from a far country. Listen, I just want to encourage you as I close. We don't know how God might use a simple act of compassion. Mang Nia pulls his motorbike over, takes a little time with this guy in need. You know, we need to take time with people. That's a message for me. Take time with people. A Christian in a third world country once said that Americans have watches, but they don't have time. Take time with people. He buys a bowl of soup for this guy. Simple act of compassion. And the Lord translates that into the salvation of an entire family. Little as much when God's in it. I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to come speak at your church this morning. I've enjoyed being here, and I hope that the message has been an encouragement to you. Father, we thank you so much for the gospel. We thank you for the difference that it's made in our lives. And Lord, I thank you that you've entrusted us with this gospel message. What a great privilege and what a great responsibility. So I pray, Lord, that we would view the gospel as we ought to, and that that would greatly affect our faithfulness in sharing it with others. My prayer for this church, Lord, is that your hand would continue to be on Calvary Baptist that you'd bless this place. May it shine as a lighthouse continually to Sheldon, Iowa, and beyond. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.